It feels good to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Gator Summit, brought to you by Prize Pick. Joining me this evening, of course, we have the beautiful David Waters for Gators Breakdown and Allie Peak from Allie Peak. It feels good to be back, babe. Feels good to be back. Good to see you too, back in action. Got a great show in store for you guys. As we had Mr. Breakdown had some role on his show earlier this week. We'll talk about ESPN ranking the UF's offseason. CBS having a take, I guess. It just shows that anybody can be a writer anymore. And then UF versus FSU on Black Friday. Dave, I saw your reactions on the Twitter app. You were not a fan. I'm not as upset about it. I saw as you were. Allie, I'm sure.
No. I wasn't upset.
Okay. Oh, okay. I thought you were like, maybe. Okay. I think somebody did say that you just kind of made some points and then you're like, I said, I wasn't really mad about it. I was just making a stance on it, but we'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. Thanks for having me back, guys. For putting me in the 2-week timeout. I appreciate it.
I'm glad that you fit us into your schedule tonight.
No problem.
We defended you. We defended your honor last week when people thought you were skipping, and we explained that you were on your deathbed and that this was what you needed to do was rest. And
it was 3 days worth of touch and go. It was brutal.
We fought the good fight for you. We defended you.
I appreciate it. Listen, me make time. We've got superstar over here sitting down with Coach 1v1. That's true.
Coach even commented on the set.
Yeah, thanks to Channel 4. That's the 9-to-5 job, commercial production manager there. But of course, a little loose partnership with the podcast and all that. So everybody knows Coach has been making the rounds, you know, throughout the state. And it was his day in Jacksonville.
You're the only person that's gotten them twice.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so the only.
We're just happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for keeping us in mind, Dave. Thank you.
But yeah, good on, you know, Florida for making it happen. Of course, busy, and hey, what came out of it and what we learned, and I think we can get into it with this conversation as well, is with this TV tour has also been a behind the scenes booster tour of meeting with boosters. So that's, I think that goes into, yeah, when he made the TV, when he's doing all the TV stations, obviously, I'm not trying to take a shot at TV stations. You know, I work at one.
Right.
But it's a little more generic conversation, and you're trying to get it out for the masses and things like that. Him being on Gators Breakdown before and us being the diehards that we are, I can dive in a little bit more. You know, the mass audience isn't going to care about recruiting like we do. So I was going to make sure that the first half of the 10 minutes I got, Coach, we're going to talk recruiting. I know we can't talk specific names, but we're going to talk some recruiting and kind of just echoing, guys, what we have heard from all the recruits of it's just real, you know, and this is a coach who came from Tulane. There's no prior relationship with most of these commits that Florida has, and they are buying in right away with the spring visits and multiple visits and meeting the staff. Phil Trotwine comes in, makes a huge impact. I had to ask him about that as well. Yeah. It was his dream job, and it's paying off. He's acting like it's his dream job, and that's why there's so much success right now. So certainly wanted to hit on the recruiting angle and kind of tying it in today with On Three's the experience that they had with him of the NIL part. And I'm tying it together because Coach saying, hey, NIL's in a good spot. We obviously want to be better. It can be better. And, guys, this is a really good start to the 2027 class, and we still have a coach saying we can do a lot better. We're nowhere even close to where we want to be.
Yeah.
And so he and kind of tying it back into the interviews, hey, we're not going to outbid players. We can't outbid players because we're just not in the avenue to do that yet. So I was really glad they had that angle to it. We could kind of tie all the recruiting stuff in together.
Yeah. I mean, he's right too. Like, I think he does such a good job of walking the line of being like, I'm so grateful for what we have. However, if the standard is here, we might need to meet it. If we are going to consistently perform. And I think that was that's kind of an important message to get out, right? Like, we're happy with what we have, but we're never satisfied.
It's nice to see someone be so adamant about raising funds and understanding the importance of it. And not only is he's asking, right? You have to ask for the sale, but he's also working it too. And we've talked about this a handful of times. I mean, you're like, why is he doing all these interviews? I think he's trying to, one, sell who he is to the fan base and and kind of wash off what was from the past. I think that it's a huge marketing tactic for recruiting. And then the bigger piece of it is, again, how do you raise money? Well, people want to go and support a coach they know. You want to go and support a coach that feel good. So that's what he's doing thus far. And, of course, having conversations with boosters that may have not been so excited about the hire when it initially happened and may have not given him the chance off rip. I think those doors are starting to open, and for good reason, because of the tour, because of the media tour. Like, I mean, this guy is making his reign. Let me hear him out. And I think it's paying dividends, but like you said, there's still a long way to go. There was a list that came out from On3 showing where Florida ranked from a donation perspective. Mm-hmm. We ranked 10th in the SEC. Again, how those numbers, how the truth behind them, I would say they're pretty dang close. I'm not going to split hairs over it, but
I heard that one wasn't really tied to NIL. It was kind of more of the general donations, maybe.
Correct. Yeah, that was an NIL evaluation. Yeah, that was just donations in general, which, again, who knows where it's going and how it's being looked at. But again, I love the fact that, and I was a fan of him saying, hey, we're not going to overpay. We're not going to just pay for you because you're a five-star either. Even if you do have a bigger budget, I don't just think you go and just pay somebody. I think there's an ebb and flow. But there is a point where I think that he's clamoring for is like, we want to be in the conversations for guys like Brewster and Maxwell Hiller and be able to land a couple of them.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting where he also said, like, we don't want every five-star.
Yeah.
There's not every five-star is going to fit in here. And I also thought it was interesting from the On3 article where he said something about, like, you give me money and I'll give you access or some kind of quote. Like, listen, let's call a spade, one. Yeah. Two, I think the line at Florida for as long as I can remember has been give us your money and shut up.
Yeah.
You know, you don't necessarily even get any kind of access for that. Like, Florida has always been, and I think it's a positive for the most part, but pretty damn good at not giving boosters a whole lot of say in anything. Or, we're not an Auburn or somewhere where, like, you know, a coup can happen and then the coach is gone. Like, we saw that. We would have been gone. Napier would have been gone a year earlier if they were going to listen to, boosters and fans and things. But I thought that was kind of interesting that he called a spade, fine. You want to hang out with us practice? Great. Give me $15 million. Like, we can make this happen. Like, this is a negotiation here.
Look, you have a weapon. You have a grand prize that you can sell. And again, it's not, you don't have to sell access. You don't have to earn access. You don't have to sell control.
Right.
Sure, right. Sure. Which is different than access. And that's important.
That's where I was about to go with that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to give the guys control. It's like, exactly. Hey, you want to go to practice? You want to get sideline passes? Why wouldn't? Like, this whole idea of, like, oh, we're the University of Florida. It's like, do you think fans are going to go, oh, wow, there's too many people on the sidelines this game? No, we're pissed because we don't have enough five stars on the football field. That's what we're looking at.
Literally. So we positively joke when we see Hugh right there beside Todd Golden, pretty much. You know, he's like,
we love it.
Watching the basketball game together. Yeah. Texas doesn't say no to Matthew McConaughey. And even though he's famous, I'm pretty sure it's not because he's not giving him money.
That is a handsome young man. You can put him on my TV screen any time of the day. So that's also part of it. Right. There you go.
Think it's very funny. I just saw a comment in here that I have to comment on, even though it's not question and answer time. Zombie, somebody, or I've already passed it. Zombie Somp wanted to know, says that he thinks everybody is too old to remember the Pearly Whites singing Gator Bait. And that was my senior year of college. None of us are, maybe Shelton, but I'm not. No, I'm not too young to remember that. I lived that. A way to age me. Thank you.
I wasn't even born yet.
Were you I like momentarily did the math.
That was all you. Nobody was going to put that comment up unless you put it out there. So
listen, I do you know how many, like, bank, I don't know, the clubs change names every 2 seconds, but the amount of bars that I watched the Pearly Whites sing that song in from January to April of 2007, like, too many times to count.
So something I wanted to joke about with the one-on-one, when I asked Coach, of course, he's met with every player so far. And he's like, yeah, some of these meetings last 10 minutes, some lasted 30 minutes. And it was like, it got me thinking, which ones lasted 10 minutes? And what was the reason why? Because to me, it could be really good. Or it could be really bad. It's like, 10 minutes in a really, really good meeting would be like, you know where you stand, you're a good player. Mm-hmm. you know the standard. Okay, let's just, you know everything.
You have the standard. You're doing everything you can do.
The other 10 minutes, the other way, could be like, this is not going well. Sorry, there's no spring portal.
Literally.
but let's just make sure we get on the same page before fall. But yeah. I thought that was kind of...
He seems like a chatterbox. Yeah. And I feel like the only way that it went to 30s for good reason.
Yeah.
But I could also, I don't know if he's a lecturer, right? Like if he's upset. That's the one thing that I've said this far. We haven't really seen him get mad or frustrated. And like,
can't wait to watch this. Yeah. Like that's going to be the moment where he shines, in my opinion. Like the cooler, the better I am here for it. I mean, hopefully it's not directed.
On a player particularly, right? And I don't, like, that's how I want to see him beat somebody up. But like,
yeah, like please miss me. I don't, but like,
yeah, the accountability. Where does the accountability snap happen? I think that's what's going to be interesting. But
do I start rooting for 10 to go on the field during a game where it doesn't matter? Of
blood, you know what I mean?
I just need to know if you're as serious about this as I think you are.
It's what I do love is the transparency. There is no hiding. Where it felt like, and again, people are going to piss we do this, but the last regime, like everybody was protected. There was always like, yep, this is good. This is great.
There's no coach speak. It just is, he's calling it like he sees it. And that gives you hope that when the chips are down, which they will be at times this upcoming season and in future seasons, that a spade gets called a spade, you know, and that's going to make things go over so much better for the fan base. You lay an egg against Georgia, I want to know that you're pissed. And I want to know that everybody's showing up at the facility at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning because they're going to know how pissed I am. Like, I can wrap my head around that. I just need to see... like he's so genuine that like I think whatever he tells us is going to be real.
If he, because a lot of fans reacted to Lagway last year, like standing after the game, dabbing people up after the Georgia game, like that was a big story. I wasn't really too concerned about it, but after losing that, do we think Coach Summerall is snapping of like what are we doing, or is?
Yes. Are you kidding? There will be no dapping up. Could you imagine if Chris Lee could cut up at midfield? Steve is in this. He can back me up on this. Urban would have lost his ever loving mind. No way that would have happened. And I don't even really have a problem with him saying hi to guys that he played high school ball with that happened to play on the other team. I was far more offended when he said in his press conference after they lost the USF that he's just here to play football and have fun or something like that. Yeah. The hell you are.
Yeah. I was in the room when he said that and I was like, oh God, this is not going to go well. Should it go well? I hated it too.
Dave's always in the room for the hot takes. Yeah. I mean,
because he causes half of them.
Yeah, if Dave's in there, I would be sweating if I'm on the press. Like, this could be my last one. This could be my hot take.
I'm putting in for a press pass just to listen to the questions that Dave asks. Well, I'm going to feed into it. Ask this one.
The bad thing about it in some ways with the one-on-one is it actually did take place during recruiting season. So I really couldn't lean into the recruiting season joke.
Right, because you know what he's doing. He's recruiting.
Well, one, recruiting's going well, and two, we're actually in recruiting season, so I couldn't really spin that this time. But
in October, it's going to hit so hard.
Did you see the interview? Because obviously, Morgan Wallen this weekend. You mentioned that you're going there, Allie. I mean, that was supposed to be a secret, but
I am going tomorrow night. Morgan Wallen, I'm so excited.
They asked Coach the lady that was interviewing him. Because there's two nights he's going to be here. He's like, I'm going to both. And they go, who's walking out with him? And he goes, I'm not going to tell you. I know who it is, but I'm not going to ruin it. And then he goes, me and Todd Golden will be there tomorrow night. That doesn't mean we're walking out. We're just going to be there together. It's like, John, you got to shut up, dog. Because right now I feel like it's you and Tebow are going to walk out with him. Like, you're not selling anything right now, dude. He was all blushing and geeking out. I was like, this guy's walking out with more.
I was just texting UF's women's soccer coach, and I was like, you know, because we have some extra tickets. I was like, hey, do you need two tickets? He's like, no. He's like, Todd and John are going tomorrow. I already told him my money's on them walking out. They won't confirm.
100% it's them.
I got four names. Look, I'm not the biggest country music fan, but I know all about the Wallen walkout.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be Summerall, Golden, Spurrier if he wants to do it, because he's from Tennessee. Somebody put that in the Gators Breakdown Plus Discord today. And is Tommy Houck's in town?
Well, I was wondering if
they
might walk out with all the boys. That was the thought of mine.
Yeah. Okay.
I know it's not Werfel, because when they sent out the... What?
Rube? He announces his return.
Yeah.
I asked Warfel if it was him because when they set out that jersey picture with the number 7, I was like, are you walking out with Morgan Wallen? He's like, no, but that would be really cool. So it's not. And Danny, see, Danny's not allowed to lie. So I'm sure it's not him.
Well, it's not Tebow, right?
I mean, it could be. I mean, he's a huge country music fan. Huge country music fan.
Because like,
he lives in Jacksonville, so it's not, it's just a short drive down. So
yeah, with the walkouts, I'm trying to think of like, they're usually pretty big aura. Like it's like a, whoever comes out with them. Not saying that John and Todd wouldn't be aura, but in the sense of like, cause John's still making his wave. You know what I mean? Like
what a way to announce you're going back for one more run though. If we could get a whole basketball team to walk out.
That would be, I'm still saying that would be big.
So cool.
What if it's us? It's the Gator Summit.
Surprise!
That'd be lit.
That is the summit. That is the summit right there.
Urban, somebody said Urban coming out. Urban's a huge country music fan. I know somebody that's walking out in the Entourage, but they literally are like the assistant to a realtor in Gainesville. So I'm not exactly sure how she made the cut in this like Entourage walkout, but she doesn't know who the actual like star of the show is.
I think if it has to be John and Todd, because what it would do, I mean, I can't, who has any other coach walked out with him like this in this facet?
Yeah, I thought, didn't Heupel walk out with?
But he's a Tennessee fan. So
oh, that's right. I remember the dab up. Yeah, super awkward.
And Damon walked out in Alabama, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Zombie Stomp put it in there too. Think Morgan is a Tennessee fan. Hope coach talks some smack.
He is. Yeah, he's a big Tennessee fan. Yeah.
I mean, Spurrier would be fitting. I mean, I think it would be, Tennessee boy. I don't know, but now I'm really excited. And we get to do it 2 nights in a row, so we can be right.
I hope it's you.
It is. That's the secret. I'll let you guys in on it.
I wanted to go back to the coach comment about the losing. You know, how we hope he doesn't. I mean, we know he's not going to accept it very well. And sure. I don't know how many times he said kind of the Urban thing. He hates losing more than he likes winning. Mm-hmm. And you guys brought up how it was before. Like the vibe I get is John's legit going to be pissed. Like it's going to hurt him too.
I'm punching whiteboard pissed.
The sense I got from Napier with that was it didn't eat him up in that way. It's like he was more disappointed for the players than he was himself.
Mm.
I think he loved the opportunity to use it as a life lesson about pulling yourself up from the bootstraps and going back to work the next day. Like
it didn't bother him
in the same way that it bothered us. Clearly,
right? Yeah, it did. Yeah, it was.
I realized this weekend we on our vacation we play Euchre, the great card game, and it's a northern card game. You put 4 people, you have teammates, and I play with my wife, and I hate losing. And so, like mid cards, she made a pretty big blunder, and I'm like, I'm hot. I'm like, you taught me this game. What are we doing?
Right? Oh, we I'm saw like, you when she didn't do well at cornhole.
Listen. And I'm in it, right? And she's not happy. Then I was like, all right, I have to change my coaching approach here, and ultimately ended up winning. But I was like, I remember like winning, like I didn't even care. I was just the fear of losing to the boys. My wife was scaring the shit out of me. I was ready to throw my wife across the room. Like that's kind of tough. And then we won. I was like, all right, cool. And she was still not, unhappy because of what we went through. Listen, I mean, I told her, this doesn't count. We're in the middle of cards. Like I'm just here to help you get to the end here. Like, don't take what I say personally. But I was like, you're embarrassing us right now. Lock it in.
And that is the story of how Sheldon slept on the couch.
Yeah, well, listen, there's a live stream of me during the basketball game when she's in my ear and I'm like, oh, you got to chill out, bro. You're freaking out like backseat driving mid game.
Backseat driving the fan watching on the couch.
Yeah, well, she did like a gasp, and I'm like, what happened? And she's like, I don't know what happened. I'm like, you gasp. You can't be doing that. So
if Shelton's screen goes black at any moment now, we kind of know why.
Yeah.
Because we don't blame her at all.
This isn't my fault. Okay. We're 16 years deep. All right. Like, you married what you get. All right. So
16 years.
We've been, not married 16. We've been together for 16. We've been married nine and 6 days. Yeah.
Okay. 20 this year with my wife together, and then 17 anniversary coming up next Saturday. So there we go.
20 years dating in September, 14 married last April.
There we go. Look at us.
It took a really long time.
Long time, yeah. we started dating at 16. So
we started dating. He was 18. I was 19. So.
Oh yeah, same thing. Oh, little cradle rocker. Okay.
Oh, 2 months. All right, 2 months.
I turned 19 in September. My dog, Harry. My dog. My dog.
He consistently reminds me that he will never be as old as me.
My dog. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I love it. I love it. I love it. ESPN, yeah. All right,
let's make some picks first.
Okay, all right, let's rock and roll. I mean, I don't know if you guys want to stay with me. We had some success the other day. We finally got a W on the board, but here we are, boys and girls. Prize Picks, of course. The show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Be sure to use that code HMA. You play $5, you get $50 instantly in lineups. Team, I've been dialed in with baseball.
All right, ooh, so I've been dialed in with NBA.
Well, that's fine. I'm just we're gonna go see Joe.
I feel like five of the last six of my picks there. So, but
maybe we should be tailing you on the morning show. I should just go to your follow. Oh, yeah.
By the way, Allie and I nailed one without you.
We did.
So I am fully aware that I am the problem with this. Okay. This is the one thing that I can admit to.
You should be going to the show tomorrow. That's what it's called. Right.
Do you want me to sit this out and just be the driver? Would that be better? I'll do that. I'm going to sit out until you guys miss. How about that?
What's the what's the PGA look like with the PGA championship?
Oh, here we go.
Scotty on fire today.
All right, more or less 68.5. Michael Block, he's three back, right? The clubhouse pro.
Mm-hmm. The cup from a few years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. What do we like here? What do we like? 74.5 for Michael, 68.5 for Scotty, 69 for Cameron Young.
I can like not see that far. The screen is like this big for me. I think
give me more on Koepka.
What did you say Scotty shot today, Dave? Did you say he was on fire?
He was 3 under, I think.
He's 3 under.
And now they got him at 68.5.
Yep. So he had
4 under.
Ooh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I would say the more on Scotty.
I like that. That just the two?
Yeah. Okay. Because you can play just two. You got a lineup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to listen. Let's keep the streak alive. It's my account, so I'll take it. there you go. Lock it in. Prize Picks. Use the code HMA. Play $5. Get $50 instantly. Clearly, go give Dave a follow. Both Daves, Swolder and Breakdown.
Very good at this.
Yeah, very good at this. Me, not so much.
Well,
not
so much. How easy it is. Guys, I don't even watch NBA, but less or more, it kind of makes it fun there. And
it does. It makes you want to watch things that you maybe aren't as into, and we're in the like dog days of summer sports wise. Yeah. That like this makes it fun.
No question. Prize Picks. It's going to be right.
Junior, right here with a super chat. Great to see the crew back together tonight, Allie and Dave. Thanks for keeping it going while Shelton's weak ass was away. I kid.
Dave doesn't even cuss. Now all of a sudden he's cussing.
This is not a breakdown, so I'm good.
Okay, fair enough. ESPN ranks. We ready to rock into it, Allie?
Yeah.
Let's go into it. So this was interesting. ESPN actually did it for all the Power Four teams, but specifically we were looking at the SEC, and they ranked Florida's offseason. So we're talking transfer portal, signing class, spring ball, all of that. They rank Florida at 11th.
The SEC.
In the SEC. And, I read the article and I'm like, well, this is wrong. But then when you read all of the teams that happened before Florida, you're like, okay, well, they did some good stuff. Okay. So, does this just make you really scared for next season? Do you think they undervalued? I think they maybe undervalued the retention.
Yes.
That happened.
Yep. That was huge. Two things. Yeah. Retention and kind of funny in the way we have viewed it. Now we got to see the results, but maybe the addition by subtraction of Billy Napier not being head coach.
Yeah. Because they're like, it's an unknown because they've got a new coach. And then we're like, dude.
Yeah,
positive.
And I thought they gave way too much credit to Jordan Castile and Sharif Denson when they were naming all key departures and all that. I'm like,
this is not someone that watched a whole lot of Gator football.
Yeah. Yeah. Like those are not key departures. Yes. They started a whole bunch of games for Florida, but
yeah, oh, there was a lot of starters for Florida. They won 4 games.
Right.
Taking it up there is probably not actually a bad thing.
Right. So, you know, comparing it to some of the other teams, and granted, yeah, I'm not following other teams like I do Florida. So I'm sure they might have some starters that not on their teams either and all that. But, you know, for me, I 11 was.
Yeah. I mean, there's some that are easy. Texas adds Will Muschamp and Stoops. Like, you win the offseason. That was a fantastic move. You also have $80 bajillion, so you also bought whoever you wanted. Congratulations. Except for Jaden Baugh and VP3. You did not buy them, but.
Yeah, Texas was 1, LSU was 2. So, you know, with Lane and Sam
Levitt. Is the gap between what LSU did this offseason and what Florida did this offseason that wide, in your opinion?
So this is where, for me,
with
these articles, and again, we're too invested. We're too biased. Mm-hmm. I think these people have an extreme bird's eye, 1,000 feet bird's eye view. And so they go look at LSU and they go, okay, Sam Levitt was the number one quarterback in the portal alongside Jordan Seaton. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not necessarily sold on Sam Levitt. Jordan Seaton's a great addition. They also lost a lot when it comes to retention. So they look at, when they talk about their key departures and their key additions, like, it's a very small factor of what they actually lost, in my opinion, LSU. I don't know exactly all. It looks like they're just doing it more from a roster retention more than anything else. They are talking about some of the coaching staff in here. I don't know how. The big one to me would be Kentucky being higher than us. One key point is, think about this. We played Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma. We knew that. We knew they were going to be good. They're what, 4-7, I think. But the rest of the SEC
1-4
that
six.
We play is Mizzou, Kentucky, and Mizzou are 1-2 spot ahead of us. Then South Carolina is beneath us, along with Auburn is below us as well, and Vanderbilt, all who we play, which is kind of interesting how kind of the SEC schedule is. Again, the big three we knew of was going to be challenging. But yeah, that is a good point, Allie. I think I've said it too, that we would be grading how Summerall did amongst all the hires in the SEC this year. How did he do?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're extremely biased, but to put Will Stein, I think there's a lot of – I like Kenny Minchie. I think he's huge. I think I had him in my top 10 for quarterbacks in the SEC. My list was pretty different than a lot of people, but I'm a huge fan of Will Stein, and I do think they did some good things. Maybe take into consideration of how low things were. You know, maybe that could be partly why of, like, you know what I mean? It's not like I said, hey, they're better, but they did more because they had to do more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But the coaching hire is a big part of this too. And I'm not trying to be biased here, but I can't put a first-time head coach above John Summerall.
Right. I mean, I think people will make the argument, and rightfully so, until Summerall wins, that Lane Kiffin is a better hire than John Summerall. But I don't think that you can argue there was any other better hire as a head coach in the SEC. But certainly not somebody that's a first-time head coach. Yeah, right.
The coordinator hires alone.
Stein above Arkansas with Silverfield and Golich of Auburn and Summerall at Florida.
Yeah.
I maybe a little too much credit there for my blood.
I think it is what you're saying, Shelton, where it's like, okay, well, we look at where they are. So maybe. Did they outkick their coverage based on where they started?
Yeah, they did a lot. I mean, Will Stein is the kind of like the hot commodity, if you will, of coaches that's up and coming. But I mean, just between Troutline,
taking him, you know.
Yeah, no, I think he's young. I think, but he's up and coming. I think he's perfect for Kentucky. I don't think he was ready for a big time job just yet. No, but the Troutline Buster who could have been what Will Stein is, like, 100%. that's the crazy part. You have what Will Stein has looked at on your staff, on top of Brad White,
Brian Hartline had taken like the Arkansas job instead of the USF job or something, it would have been the same up and coming.
Yeah, exactly. So that part to me is, again, I think it's getting a little flack. Look, I think the rest of the teams that are ahead of Florida, look, A&M is kind of surprising. They lost both coordinators. I'm not quite sure that their replacement is good as what they've lost. And again, I think that retention roster wise, they do well. So I'm not knocking on that, but
Tennessee's nothing to fall in love with either, except, you know, they definitely brought in Jim Knowles from Penn State as a defensive coordinator.
That was huge.
Yeah.
I mean,
but everything else.
But think about it, though. Think about the team that brought in Jim Knowles last year. That was the record-breaking defensive contract. How'd that work out for that team?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Look, great list. I love lists like this, obviously, to give us opportunity to argue and discuss. Mm-hmm. Well, not us necessarily argue, but at least discuss and debate it. And again, we're biased. So we're all a bunch of people kind of like looking at the same thing. I'm not saying that we should be top five or number one. Right. I think that honestly, South Carolina being as low as they are is I would be, if you're a Gamecock fan, like, well, what, like, what happened? Given the fact that I think they did a good job of retaining the talent they had. They have the highest snaps on the offensive line coming back. I think you kind of hit
their head coach. That's why they are where they are.
Yeah, I agree.
They are Florida a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. How Shane still has a job is beyond me.
I mean, I hope they keep him forever, but
the roster retention is I say it constantly. I'm trying to make a, I'm starting a petition for it. It needs to have a score. Like, if we have a portal score, we have a recruiting score, retention is score. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you can't ignore it. Like, that is half the battle. Look, yeah. Florida did lose a lot. And again, going back to when we said Kentucky, the starting line, I think that's what's
Florida needed Kentucky. To lose a lot though. So that's okay.
Well, I'm saying more of like from the trenches perspective, they lost a good amount of quality starters. And I think that's a big one. Real quick, guys, I did a list, quarterback list. Where's mm-hmm. Gunnar Stockton on both of your list for the SEC quarterbacks?
Like, we're just talking.
I mean,
power rankings. Where do you put him?
Just rankings. Oh, man.
In the conference?
Just in the conference, yeah.
Top, you know. Quarter of the conference, I think, for sure. I mean, you got to do that based on experience alone,
one,
right?
Two, top three, top.
Mm, top three, probably, I think.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Suck it, Scott. I had him two. Okay.
Behind who?
Trinidad. Trinidad was just too good in too many games. I think that's fair. I'm not in love with it.
I love Trinidad. So.
I do too.
I'm just, what concerns me is that the changing of coordinator. That's the reason why I don't love it.
Yeah,
that has fear for me.
I can feel you there.
But I liked what he did a lot, and then I got a number two. Like, I don't know, like, Gunnar was.
You want to go say Marcel Reed number one?
No, he's like six or seven.
Okay.
For me,
Marcel Reed is good.
Yeah,
he's good. But when he's bad, he's horrid. Yeah. And that's the rub with him.
My point for Marcel that I made is like, look, Marcel. I don't think we're gonna see much more out of Marcel. Like, yeah, the ceiling, there's not much left to go get. Yeah. So if he can just keep it consistent and not make mistakes, he'll be good.
Do you think Gunnar has a ceiling he hasn't reached yet, though? I mean, I think Arch has a ceiling he hasn't reached yet.
Agreed.
Scott does bring up Arch. I probably would put Arch top three. So Gunnar would probably be four.
Arch was three for me.
Yeah.
I think so. Who was your two then? If you have Trinidad Gunnar. And it's not. No, I know, but.
Oh, my bad. I miscounted. Wait, Trinidad.
I would do Trinidad, Arch, Gunnar.
That's where I'd go. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
And I think it's, I think that Arch has a ceiling he hasn't reached yet. I think we've seen everything the future insurance salesman has to offer for Stockton, but he's got experience and he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So.
Yeah. The thing that sold it for me for Gunnar was George's done a good job with always having people that manage, and he hit throw. Like, he gives you the perfect combo of Stetson Bennett and Beck, because he hit throws that Beck could hit, just Beck couldn't hit him in game time and big time moments. Gunnar was hitting them.
Maybe he's sharing less on Instagram. He learned that lesson from Beck to not.
Yes. He ranked sixth in QBR, Gunnar Stockton. Like, he was 25 for 5. Like, I don't understand the hate with very little around him. From a weapons perspective.
Yeah. Nobody hates Georgia more than me. I do think their quarterbacks get dunked on too much.
Well, I think Beck was not good, in my opinion. He's a good quarterback. On
himself all the time. Yeah. Like, take his athleticism out of there. His dumbassery was.
Yeah, he just he couldn't get it done when it mattered. Like he was Marcel Reed. Like he just like when nothing when Eric they're playing catch, like he looked like his
body language was also horrific. And some of that might just be his giant like eyes or something, but he always his body language, it was never his fault if you were reading his face. Have you ever seen the comparison to the little like rat guy on Ice Age?
Yeah, I started that like 2 years ago. I mean, no credit for that.
All I can think about every time
you said that, that was the image that popped in my head. But
yeah, that's all like,
One question I wanted to go into because we can relate it to earlier some of the earlier conversation when we were talking about NIL and stuff, and then part of this conversation too. Justin Cord. A lot was said about having a recruiting war chest if we hired Lane. Did that money dry up? Dry up, maybe not the correct term. It's just what we all kind of – well, I don't want to speak for you guys, but I think you said this
too. We all heard it.
Yeah. It was, hey, there's just going to be a lot of support behind Lane Kiffin if he's the guy.
I think there was a lot more of wait and see.
Yeah, there's just going to be – that money's still there, I think. And I think that's what John's trying to do. I do think he has unlocked some of it. Since he's been hired.
Well, and when you say it's still there, meaning those boosters are still potentially willing to donate. It's not sitting in some fund somewhere that UF is unwilling to touch. It is, I do think a lot of boosters were willing to open the wallet for Kiffin if Strickland was able to get that deal done. When he wasn't, I think a lot of them were like, well, you know, we're going to see how he does. And in reality, that's not fair. It is absolutely not fair to hold Lane Kiffin to one standard. You're going to have all these bajillion dollars. We're going to make sure you're successful. And then you bring in a guy with less experience and you say like, well, first you got to win with less and then we'll decide if we want to give it to you. Like that is not a fair setup. But also from a booster's point of view, I understand not wanting to throw money at something you don't think has any ROI. So I see both sides of that, but that's not a fair situation to put Summerall in at all.
Right. It's not a fair situation, but it's a real situation.
Yes. But I do wonder if Strickland will think, like, at the end of the day, let's say Lane was here 3 years, would his leash have been shorter because his money was longer? Like, would it have been like, hey, you better win 10 games first year because we've poured $40 million into this recruiting class. And maybe with Summerall, they're like, all right, you got 25. We need 8 wins out of you. And like, maybe then it balances out. And obviously that's behind the scenes talk that we won't ever know the truth on. But it is definitely not fair, but it is also definitely reality.
Yeah, I think if you actually think about it like that, because the money would have been spent year one, I don't think Lane goes and wins 1 year one at either place, perfectly honest. I think he'll win 11 games, go to a playoff, whatever. The expectation for Florida is like, if you can win 10-plus games, then you're in the conversation. And I think Scott's like, well, John, you should be able to do that. I think that's doable. You do that, then we can get you the money, and then – you're in year two, exactly where Lane would have been in year two with the money anyway. So figure it out. You're a little behind the eight ball probably from that first portal class.
The portal class is probably where it hurts you.
I think it's the only spot that it hurt. But also, too, I mean, I feel like, again, this portal class, we saw it. LSU spent the most in the portal. We did okay. So
And I was not even overly impressed at what was available in the portal either.
No, like, I say that again, too.
And I think that's maybe a part of it, but I don't know. It's a chicken or the egg thing. Like Summerall, at the end of the day, is he going to make the argument that he didn't win because he didn't get the resources out front? I mean, I guess like TBD, but good on him for at least shooting a shot about, hey, listen, like I'm grateful for what we have, be even more grateful for more.
Yeah. The exact quote, I shared that part of it today, Allie. I'm comfortable with where we are. I'm not going to make any excuses or whine or complain with everything we got. I'm grateful for it. And I fully intend and expect to win with what we got. But I think to win at the highest level year in and year out, we have to continue to grow.
To maintain it is the key. And that's reasonable. Yeah. And the other part of it too, is like LSU, again, what's not being looked at is the retention part. But yes, they spent more in the portal because the money that was used that we use for retention
was a big chunk of
the budget. It wasn't allocated. Like nobody's looking at it. That's what's frustrating is that all the money to keep Woods, Graham, BB3, Ball, we know it was spent, but when you see these numbers of money that was spent in the portal, that number isn't out there.
And I would absolutely must rather have the top five guys we wanted retained. That seems like it's going to have a much higher ROI. They're familiar with the system. We know what they can do. They love this place. Like, that is, I think, a better usage of the money anyway. But, you know, I do think LSU fans, because it's been more money, will be after Lane's head even faster than Florida fans will be after Summerall.
Yeah. And they should.
The zombie comment, Lane has won the same amount of natties as Summerall with a lot more money to spend and big name programs.
I mean, he's won the same number of natties as all of us.
Yeah, John also has more playoff appearances.
He does.
Oh, man.
Nothing, baby.
I think Summerall is so stubborn and so competitive that you could give him like three lawn chairs and a Triscuit, and he would probably figure out how to get to the playoffs year one. One year soon. The rub is retaining once you reach that peak, because the second you get to the playoffs or you get to the national title, every person on your roster suddenly becomes more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants them. And so your retention numbers go through the roof, and it gets more and more expensive to continue to win. Like, Indiana got it on the cheap. You think if Indiana repeats, it's because they got a second year on the cheap? Hell no. They probably spent twice as much this upcoming year because they're retaining all these guys that nobody had heard of until the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to have these programs. I mean, what's the reported number now for a roster for these big programs? Was it like 40 mil?
I think 40 million.
Or every week, it's another 10 million.
Yeah, it seems like it. So, but here's the thing. If you're spending 40 mil this year, are you really going to be able to say, well, we're only spending 20 next year?
No, you're never going back. But also, how are you going to get people to continue to give?
Right.
If they give that money and you don't make the playoffs. Yeah.
But then that's the thing that people keep saying, the bubble's going to burst at some point.
LSU fans might be happy to make the playoffs this year with their $40 million roster. They sure as shit won't be happy to just make the first round of the playoffs the next year.
There's right. a reason the Sark's names is floating around of not being at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Sark and his academic quotes this year about Ole Miss and basket weaving and whatever was very amusing, by the way. Ole Miss is catching everybody's strays. But you haven't even won anything. You want to just shut up and coach?
Yeah, you're not in a place to talk shit. I mean, Lane too, right? But that's Lane's shtick, right?
That's what he does.
Sark, you're a goober, bro. Like, yeah, it's you are like.
And also, no one asked you.
Yeah, you're the out of all the coaches, we should do that. Out of all the coaches, how are we ranking of who you want to get a beer with? John, number one. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I would put Beamer dead last because he's just, I can't put him dead last.
I mean, he might get a bar fight, and that would be funny to watch.
Yeah, he's kind of a loose cannon. Sark's got to be dead last for me. Libby's up there. Libby seems like a bro. Kirby's in the middle. Kirby's in the middle. Like, I would definitely have a beer with Curbs.
Hartley as a coach, I don't think he'd be fun to have a beer with.
Yeah, he's down there in the bottom echelon with Beamer. Yeah. Heupel, hell no.
No.
Alex Golish, hell no. Silverfield, I bet he's a dog. Top five. I don't even Will Stein, dog. Mike Elko, dog. Easily top five. He's a bro. I could tell he could sling some. He might drink everyone's beer, but he could.
You got more than five in your five.
There's like, it's a big contrast. There's like this. Sure there's is. Tier one and tier two is basically what I'm getting.
Can you imagine having a beer with Billy Napier?
It's unfortunate. I'm glad I didn't ask this question last year because
right.
I would have lied to you if I would have said top five.
I think the way I've put it lately, we've gotten to hang out with Summerall and stuff. I said Billy was a nice guy. Summerall is my kind of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just,
yeah.
He's funny as hell. He's sarcastic. He's a little bit crazy. Like, this is similar to the person I'm married to, actually.
Hey, going back to it one more time, I mean, it's going to sound like I'm a Georgia fan by the time this episode, and everybody knows in my blood that just is not possible. But going back to when they had that coaches thing at Spurrier's a couple of months ago, when they were doing all the jokes and stuff, I could have a beer with Kirby.
Oh, yeah. I think he's hilarious. He's 100%. He's somewhat urban funny in that, like, You're not, there is absolutely a grain of truth wrapped in this and a little bit of meanness, but it's also funny. So everyone's going to laugh, but like, it's a dig.
He's like edgy though, where it'd be like, I would be a little uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like that's where like, he's not my number, like top three, he's top five. Cause I'm like, you're being an asshole. I can't tell.
I would talk crap to him.
Yeah.
I would too. But I think he would probably get a little aggressive. Like, he seems like one of those ones that like, it started like drinking, grabbing the shoulder a little bit. He's got them big linebacker claws. I'm like, I ain't got time for this, dog. You got to chill out, bro.
The boar doesn't.
The boar's another one. Yeah. I'm going to have to put my list together. I'm going to work on that. That's my homework assignment. I got to see the names and I got to see them one by one. Yeah. The boar's not bad, but I know for a fact it's Beamer and Sark's. I think Sark's last.
Yeah. Sark's last.
He's got to be. It's not even close.
I like Daddy Beamer so much that might allow me to have a beer with
Beamer. He's kind of goofy.
We didn't bring up the name. Everybody said hell no to when his name was brought up for Florida's coaching.
Oh, drink. Yes. Yes.
Oh, drink.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to have a drink with drink either.
I like drink. Personally, when we were talking, I was like, I like his goofiness. Like, I like his personally. His nerdiness, like when his presser was one of my favorite pressers last year when he was doing like the whole like tenfold shit. Like that was hilarious. His conspiracy theories. Like I would have a beer with Eli. He would have two. He would be adamant about splitting them and he would be gone in 30 to 45 minutes.
I need someone else to be there, another coach, so that we can laugh at Eli together. That would be like the only scenario where that would be fun for me.
Listen, he's on the list. He's got to be up there. So maybe the bottom three are probably Eli. I'm not going to put Beamer down there. I don't know. Clark's was in the military, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. See, one or two, you're getting some loose screws. He's probably a bro. He pumped up the list for those reasons alone.
He also was like down to create a 13th game for Vanderbilt to fly and play and potentially make the playoffs. And like,
I didn't really think that was going to happen.
Their athletic director talked about it. I mean, I would have been all down for it if we got it, but it was very weird. Like, did you just join college football today?
Yeah.
He managed Diego Pavio. You got to be kind of a dude to be able to manage that. The scene and how he is.
I don't know quite how off the rocker he was while he played at Vanderbilt.
What I loved about that, it was kind of like the Johnny Manziel era. Like that was during a time where you just didn't hear from the players as much.
Yeah.
So that was why. Remember, like you couldn't talk if you were a freshman. I remember that being a big deal. Man, yes. I want to hear from this kid. I want to hear what he was all about. And it's like, they probably didn't.
Hasn't stopped talking since now. So we've heard it all.
They could have lost time. But Johnny Manziel, Piet Pavia in this world. I'll have a beer with that guy because I got questions.
Diego's mom might be there too.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And she's hitting on whoever is at the bar.
Move up the list, Clark. Move up the list. We want to do the SeatGeek real quick before we go to CBS.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
We're kind of rolling here, but
yeah.
There it is. Boys and girls, this show is also brought to you today by SeatGeek. Be sure to use the code COLLECTIVE10. For 10% off tickets on SeatGeek. And while I was away, these two beautiful people hired a handsome person to tell you more about SeatGeek. So, Dave, go ahead and roll it, and we can see who this is.
I've been dying to take little man to his very first Braves game, and now I can, to carry on the family tradition of cheering for a great baseball team, thanks to SeatGeek, today's sponsor. And with 35 million downloads and over 70,000 events to choose from, SeatGeek is the place for me. If you go ahead and check the app out, which I love tremendously, because I love going for a good game when they give out stuff for free. One being whether it be a bobblehead card or a quarter or throwback cap or a Friday Night Lights or July 4th celebration or the Drake Baldwin bobblehead. Now I can see that when I'm picking it through SeatGeek. I don't have to go to a separate app and look this thing up. So I'll be looking at one of these games, probably against the Mets, because the Mets aren't very good, as we all are aware of that one. We'll be checking out one of these games here, thanks to SeatGeek. And right now, when you use COLLECTIVE10, you get 10% off any tickets. Use the link in the description down below, COLLECTIVE10. Get 10% off any tickets. Thank you, SeatGeek, for a great opportunity.
Man, they can see the MLB's best Braves.
Yes, sir. Number one in the league, baby. They're losing the Cubs right now, though. But I already won the series, so all good. All good.
Yeah.
Shout out SeatGeek.
Yeah. All right. Post spring overreactions from CBS. This one was weird. Like, it didn't make a whole lot of sense with the title of the overreaction. Post spring overreactions. Alabama fueled by motivation. LSU built to meet CFP expectations. And then the subtitle, examining offseason buzz for all 16 teams.
For the an intern wrote the headline.
For the overreaction part, I don't get it for the whole Florida part of it. But the title for Florida is quarterback play under microscope. And basically saying it's the biggest question on the team. It's unsettled. That's where the concern lives.
It's unsettled. I guess that's a fact.
But it is unsettled. But we start looking at maybe an overreaction. Maybe the overreaction is the
concern.
The concern. Because the offensive line.
100%. Offensive line and DBs are a way bigger concern than two good quarterbacks. Whoever wins the job, we could win the job. We've talked about this a lot. And as long as the offensive line does its job, there's an embarrassment of riches in the skill position. So I don't know, miss the mark for me. I just think that's not a concern for Florida fans. They are intrigued because everybody's intrigued by a quarterback battle. Everybody wants to know who the starter is, but I don't think anybody's concerned about either one of them winning. Whoever it is, let's ride. They're both good.
Yeah. For me, Shelton, if they had mentioned offensive line play maybe affecting the quarterbacks or something like that, then I could have taken the quarterback storyline a little more serious, but there was no mention of that whatsoever of the guys in front of the quarterbacks.
This goes back to the ESPN article, right? It's kind of that bird's eye view.
National media knowing nothing about the teams they're writing about and just Googling.
Look, the conversation has been the quarterback. Who is it going to be? Because it's a fun one to discuss. It's a sexy position to talk about, but
because there's two good options.
Yeah, so in my list, my quarterback ranking list, I put Florida at number 10. And I said, look, I understand that people think that I'm biased here, but for me, what I took the reasoning being was the system that they're being placed in and the functionality of what Buster can do with these two quarterbacks, one being Philo being experienced and Tremel having a ton of experience. So that's why they are ranked as high as it was. A top 10 quarterback for not playing at Florida last year is actually a pretty big deal, I would say. I think it completely missed the mark. The offensive line, even Summerall has said it time and time again where the concern is. He's even said himself, we're going to be in good hands. I like what both guys are showing us. We just got to figure out who's going to be. So those articles, they're losing their smoke day by day. They used to crush because there wasn't people like us that talked about it on a day-to-day basis that gave you that
granular basis, I think, too, right?
Yeah, and again, I think it goes back to what you were mentioning before, Dave, where it's like that the TV media, right? When they do an interview, it's a very overglossed interview, just like kind of a touch and go type of situation. That was kind of how this article. Can you get away with this article?
7 seconds to get something done.
Yeah, can you get away with the article? Sure, because it's still a hot piece for the University of Florida. It'll do well. Hell, we're talking about it, so it worked in that regards. And there's zero repercussions for writing dumb stuff anymore, so they'll be fine with that. But yeah, I don't know. That was both of these lists were very interesting and to talk about. With one again, us finishing 11th. That one I could, we can debate that one a little bit more. This one just feels like they're just reaching.
Yeah, I didn't want to spend too much time on it, but it was just worth how I knew how much we would disagree on the biggest concern or the overreaction for Florida coming out of spring. Then the other big story, guys, Florida versus Florida State on Black Friday, 3:30 kickoff. This happened not the last time Florida was in Tallahassee, but the time before the Black Friday game. And
it was my first year doing this. I had a watch party at Dick's Wings. I remember it was very cool. Yeah. Just getting started. So I remember that Black Friday late. That was a nighttime game too.
It was.
That was Jordan Travis when he had Vaseline on his jersey. The Ventura Miller ejection game. You guys remember that?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, there's some amazing plays by Jordan Travis there. I went the other way with it. I don't hate it. It's just because when I go to Gainesville and I'm talking about throughout a whole college football season, when I go to Gainesville, tailgate and all that, I miss so much other college football that when this game being on Friday, I now get to watch wide open college football rivalry Saturday, you know, the season finale game. So in that regard, I will admit I'm a little selfish that I want, you know, I can watch some other games on Saturday. So I don't mind Florida playing on Friday when the game is in Tallahassee. When the game's in Gainesville, hell no. The game better be on Saturday. It better be, because I want to be in the stands on Saturday when Florida plays Florida State. But it's, you know, I don't find myself going to Tallahassee. I may make the trip, but I don't find myself going there. So I don't have as big as an issue with it being Black Friday compared to most of the fan base. I mean, I'm not digging in cement here. You know, it doesn't bother me one way or the other. But I just personally, for me, I can at least spend some time watching other games on Saturday.
I'm sure it's going to shock you guys that have a strong opinion on this. I hate it. I think it's stupid. I think it is a indicator of where this rivalry currently is, which is, you know, the gutter. This should be a Saturday primetime game. Sometimes that's 3:30. Sometimes that's 7:30 or 8:00. Kind of depends on, you know, the TV scheduling, where everybody else is. I'd take it at either one of those time slots, and I'm totally good with it. I hate the Friday games. I am totally love to make fun of the ACC for all of their weekday games. And I think it's ironic that the SEC has such a strong stance against Friday games, but the ACC, like, it's like, well, it's our turn, so we're going to stick it to you and pick it on. Auburn, Alabama sometimes is on Friday, though. That is if that
the Egg Bowl
you're gonna make. The Egg Bowl belongs on that day, though. Let me, like, the Egg Bowl. The Egg Bowl
belongs on Thanksgiving night, where it used to be.
That's true. It belongs on Thanksgiving night. It is an oddity, and you kind of, like, can't look away television generally. Like, I think about Leach and the, like, dog peeing game. It is such a circus that belongs. You need to be on your couch in your turkey coma. Why I usually decorate my Christmas tree like around that same time too, but while the Egg Bowl is on. But I disagree on Friday for the Egg Bowl. It should be Thursday night. But I'm okay with some of these lesser programs that have cool rivalries being on Thursday, on Friday, but Florida, Florida State, when those two programs are good, everybody in the nation is tuning in. That is a primetime rivalry game. And this is disrespectful, but probably where both programs are right now. And I mean, listen, I hope Florida dog walks Florida State. We could play them on Wednesday at 10 a.m. and I am there and cheering for Florida, but I hate this.
Texas A&M's Friday too, right?
But
the night game.
I was running out of juice here with her theory. So here's my thing with the Friday thing. This isn't terrible. Like the typical Friday night ACC games that, yes, I also enjoy.
The SEC said this week Friday night is for high school. Guess what happens the Friday after Thanksgiving?
I let you go.
Finals for high school.
This Friday, the Black Friday, is not a typical Friday. It is a holiday weekend Friday.
So regional finals in the state of Florida for football.
It's a holiday weekend Friday. It's the same thing how I view Labor Day weekend when they have Sunday and Monday night games.
I don't want to play in any of them. I just want to watch
them. You wouldn't want to play on a Monday night game?
Hell no.
On Labor Day weekend?
No.
No.
Now, Sunday game, I wouldn't mind Sunday.
Well, I mean, I don't want to stay up late on a Monday either, but the last few Monday night games have been great. They've been your two top teams.
Great, and I'll watch them in my pajamas.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so yes, from a fan perspective, no. Because if it's at Gainesville, do I want to go to Swamp on a Monday night? No, I understand that perspective, but if we're talking about viewership and it being on a big time night, that's all that I'm saying is that, like, the day of the week is kind of irrelevant in this particular situation because it's a holiday weekend. It's not false.
It is false. But I do find it ironic. The SEC said they don't like Friday night games.
I will back up
Friday night. It's Black Friday.
Black Friday is different. Black Friday is
very different.
Dominic Barber brings up a good point in a way, but see, this doesn't hurt Florida. It hurts Florida State. Because I hate it. The biggest thing
to have any recruits.
Recruits not being there because they have games.
And no recruits are going to see Florida State, whether it's Friday or Saturday. So.
Get to Tallahassee. That doesn't hurt Florida.
I'm in a football coma that whole weekend. So it's just like, that's my point. Is like the day doesn't really matter to me. It's just like
Well, I'm going to have a hard time getting Eric to pick out the perfect Christmas tree that day, which is usually what we do the first half of Black Friday.
Well, if you were a true
now the story. Now the real story.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a true American, you would already had it up November 1st.
I'm a true American and I have a real tree. Therefore, if I buy it before Black Friday, it's dead.
Ooh.
That's true. That's true. Well, mine's up early because mine's already up.
So are both of y'all real tree
people? July tree right now.
I was a real tree person, die hard, and then I had a kid, so we switched for a little bit. So we might have to switch eventually. But like Ali said, we like to get it up early, and they don't start selling Christmas trees until I think that weekend.
Everything else in my house is your fake tree?
Yeah.
Everything else in my house is decorated before Thanksgiving, and then on Black Friday, we bring home the tree. We decorate it. I have to do the lights because I'm a type A lunatic. It gets decorated that weekend. There's tradition involved in that. Florida State being on a Friday night is really going to mess things up for me because I'm clearly not getting one on Rivalry Saturday, which relegates the Christmas tree to Sunday. Thanks a lot, ACC.
Just wake up early Friday.
Not if I'm going to go. I probably will go to Tallahassee.
Oh. Yeah, you're screwed. Yeah. It's going to be till Sunday. Christmas is ruined because of this.
Yeah. Ruined. And already Thanksgiving is late, so we already have a shorter window of time than we have years.
It's possible to hate Florida State even more, and now you found a little more ounce of hate.
Yeah. Thanks for screwing up Christmas.
my son requested Christmas music today. He's like, Dad, can you
put him.
Yeah,
my brother-in-law sends us a text message every Friday telling us how many Fridays until Christmas. It gives Eric a heart attack every single time because he's like, oh, now it's only 6 months till I have to pay for all this shit. And whatever, yeah. But my brother-in-law loves it.
I absolutely am totally against Christmas music before Thanksgiving. Any Christmas movies before Thanksgiving.
Don't come to my house this summer.
Yeah, you're a Grinch. Yeah, he's been watching he watched The Grinch like every so often.
A classic year-round movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Starting Thanksgiving, play it to death. I don't care. I mean, but
I just take a break after Halloween. Christmas music starts. I'll take a break for that week and then return to the Christmas music.
Yeah, as soon as Halloween ends the next day, we got
permanent lights on our house this year. So they'll be orange and green or purple or something on Halloween. The next day I'll hit the button and they will all be Christmas all over my house.
Amen to that. You gotta lock in, Dave. You Grinch.
Yeah.
Don't let my family hear this because they're gonna be like, see.
Oh yes.
Yeah. You can never have too much Christmas. You never have too much Christmas. That's how it
looks. Unless you don't have joy in your heart, Dave.
Yeah. Listen, I love the rest of the time of the year. We talk about all the time. I love
fall is my vibe. I'm for so many more reasons other than just football, but I'm very excited for fall first.
I'm a summer slut. So I can't. I do love
it. It is about to be your time to shine.
Oh, yeah.
I love my damn vacation. So there we
go. That's exactly why I like it.
You're on vacation.
Here we go. I got some help. Thomas, Dave is right. We don't need 3 months of Christmas.
Yeah, it's cool. People are wrong all the time.
Your Tim. Christmas before Thanksgiving.
Listen, this might not be the show for you.
Yeah.
It's not. Dave is correct.
Oh, I cherry pick all your. I see every Friday is Christmas for my wife. Muppets Christmas Carol is the best.
I don't
movie.
Know what you're talking about. You're making up comments, Allie. You're making up comments.
We can't pick them. We can't pick them. You see that here? Scott's just a bandwagoner.
Okay, there we go.
Thank you.
There you go. See, this is actually it's very even in the chat. Dave just cherry picking what he likes.
Hell of a debate. Hell of a way to end the show of when Christmas actually should start. Hey, real quick, we're all parents. Are the dogs count as children?
Our dog does.
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't have kids, would you say the dogs count as children? Are the same thing as having children?
Oh no.
No.
I didn't say count.
If you can leave a bowl of water and just leave the house, it's not a child. No.
So when you're counting the hours, you're like 8 hours would be they'll be fine.
Yes, so exactly. Like I left the screen door open. It's not a problem. Like I'm gonna go to Gainesville and leave the screen door open and definitely not with children. I thought you were meaning like, do I consider them my children?
Yeah,
our dog sleeps in my bed, but
yeah.
I misphrased it. Dude, we were trying to pick all these guys.
Absolutely.
And my buddy who has kids asked the guys, like, you have kids? Like, no, I have dogs. He's like, it's not the same.
You have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah. Like, it's like, look, you're here. My kids are right there screaming at me through the fence from the playground because I have to leave because they're hungry. You're fine. You're chilling right now. He's like, well, they're just as expensive. I was like, all right, brother, we gotta go.
You do not pay for daycare, my friend.
Or youth sports.
Brutal.
Good stuff, everybody. Good stuff.
Great show. Okay. Great show.
Yeah, this was fun. Okay, yeah. Let's do it again. Yeah. Same time, same place next time.
I'll see if I'm busy or not. I'll see what I can do.
Sheldon's going on his 2-week vacation after this, but
yeah. I'll let you know. We'll see TBD. TBD.
See y'all.
Bye, guys.
All right.